Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Beavers, the national recruiting scene and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. This is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, the Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert players, coaches, and fans follow.
Hoo-wee.
Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. We talked about it on last week's show. We're going to be doing 30 for 30 topics for the Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers. If somebody like ESPN were to make 30 documentaries or a handful of documentaries about the Ducks and Beavers, anything they've done in sports in their history, what would they be? We're not talking about the obvious ones. I don't want to see a documentary on Marcus Mariota's time in Oregon. It has to be kind of an undercurrent sports topic, like 30 for 30 was. They weren't about Michael Jordan or necessarily the Dream Team. They were kind of subtle topics. So we'll be talking about that a little later in the show. Also, Lake Oswego athlete Casey Filkins will be on. Since we last talked, he's a guy who's been in studio before. He's picked up offers from Oregon State and Oregon. He's visited both. We'll talk to him about what he likes about both schools. What are their approaches? And what does he think about being a Pac-12 recruit? If you didn't follow his season, he was the 6A Offensive Player of the Year this year in Oregon, led Lake Oswego to a title, and had one of the most dominant seasons I've ever seen in Oregon high school football. There was no doubt he was the 6A Offensive Player of the Year. Just an incredible season. But first, we're in the heat of the NCAA tournament. It's day one. I always think day one and day two, really the first weekend, is the most fun because of the upsets, because of the what could be, because so many fan bases are involved. And Ja Morant today had a triple-double. And I'm already starting to see it. I got an email, a mocking email. You cover recruiting, and here we are again. Ja Morant was unrated. He was a zero star. Stars don't matter. Well, there's a reason people don't generally talk about that in the world of basketball. It's because they really, really matter. In basketball, even more so by far than the NFL, five-star guys pan out. If we look at 2 years ago's five-star guys, so this year's rookies in the NBA, Michael Porter Jr., Marvin Bagley III, DeAndre Ayton, Mo Bamba, Jaren Jackson, Wendell Carter, Colin Sexton, Kevin Knox, and at number 16, still a five-star, Trae Young. Those are 10 of the top 16 players. They're all in the NBA, and they were all the most impactful rookies. Now, people might say Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic would have been a five-star recruit. He was just an international prospect. But at 16 and 17 years old, he was pegged as the next superstar. Stars absolutely matter at an extremely high level in basketball. You get yourself a five-star, and there's about an 80% chance he's going to end up in the NBA. There's about a 60% chance he's going to end up in the NBA in the first year or two, and there's about a 50% chance he's a one and done. So you get a five-star on your campus, there's about a 50% chance he's going to the NBA right away. And you look at what Oregon just had. They had two in this year's group. Lou King, who was an all-freshman player in the Pac-12 conference, and he's really come into his own, and I think it's pretty clear he has an NBA future. It's going to come probably down the line. He could declare, but it doesn't feel ready. And Bol Bol. And before Bol Bol got hurt, Bol Bol was looking like a top 10 pick. And I know there's some issues about his size and strength and obviously some injury concerns. But before the injury, he looked like a top 10 pick. Stars matter. You look at this year's group, and again, everybody's excited about Ja Morant, and rightly so. He had a triple-double in the tournament. Incredible, incredible run by him, and an incredible win for Murray State. But when we look at the top prospects in this draft, they're all still five-star guys. Zion Williamson was a five-star guy. I started showing my son, who's 14, my stepson Jaden, video of Zion Williamson when Zion was a sophomore in high school. And I wasn't saying, Jaden, listen, I don't know whether this kid's going to be like a Vince Carter or if he's going to be a bigger Charles Barkley or if he's the next LeBron James type player. Who knows yet? But in terms of freakish athlete and freakish dunker, he's a generational talent. You could tell that when he was a sophomore. There were questions about his ability to shoot. There were some questions about his ability to put a complete game together. But even really young, everybody knew Zion Williamson was freaky. Again, I don't go around showing my stepson highlight videos of high school kids very often because I do it all the time and he thinks I'm annoying when I do that. Like, hey, come check out this quarterback. He's like, I do not care at all. But Zion, he was like, wow, that kid's amazing. The rest of the top group, RJ Barrett, Nasir Little, Cameron Reddish, Bol Bol, that's your top five. All of those guys are probably top 10 picks. All of them. Five stars in basketball recruiting really matter. And again, we say star system doesn't really work. Recruiting doesn't really matter. In basketball is like the definitive way to tell if a team's going to have success. Give me the top 5 to 6 recruiting classes every year, the teams that take in those recruiting classes every year, and I'm probably getting 1, maybe 2, maybe 3 of the final 4 teams. I just find it funny and that we still do that. Stars don't matter. We've pretty clearly at this point seen stars really matter. The reason it's a little tougher in football is football's a more physical game. There are more injuries. And guys are 3 years away from playing in the pros. So there's 3 more years of development where guys can leapfrog other players. When these kids graduate, when the final recruiting rankings on Rivals and ESPN and 24/7 Sports for basketball are done, these kids are about 9 months away from entering the NBA draft. So it's not as hard. Football's a little tougher because, again, you've got 3 years to project. It makes it tough to project 3 years out. If you went and looked at basketball and ranked the top sophomores, and again, we would have known about Zion, but there would have been other guys we might not have known about. I know RJ Barrett at 16 was considered the greatest prospect ever to come out of Canada. Again, a 5-star player, probably the number 3 pick. But it wouldn't have been the way it is now. And the way you look at it now, you look at the top 10 from last year and then compare it to the mock drafts right now, and almost all those guys are the top 10 picks. Marcus, once again, we learn on this show, recruiting really, really matters.
Yeah, it's really opened my eyes a little bit because I know before this, I was a guy that for sure, just it was an athlete thing, just thinking that the stars don't really matter. But I will admit you proved me wrong. I'll give you that. You did prove me wrong.
Well, and on a case-by-case basis, there are still 2-star guys that end up being big time. But I went and looked at the numbers, and in football, people point to like 3 stars on an NFL roster. If 80% of all 4- and 5-star high school prospects ended up going on and having 3- or 4-year NFL careers, the league, even if 80% of 4- and 5-stars made it and had 4- and 5-year careers, would still be, the majority of them would still be 3-star prospects. That's how many guys are on NFL rosters. There are a ton. And that's how few 4- and 5-star guys there are. By the way, I'm in the studio and we have a TV in here. The NCAA tournament is on. You know what's on this TV?
What?
USA Soccer.
Yeah, I think there's a remote in there. I'll find it for you at this next break.
I mean, I need to stay focused on the radio show. I get that. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited to be here. But Isaac and Suk just got to do a show from a bar.
Yeah, I'm
with
sitting here
multiple
watching
screens,
Syracuse and Baylor.
And I'm sitting here watching an interview, because I think it's halftime or the game's over, Team USA Soccer. And I have nothing against soccer, but not today. Today is a college basketball holiday. What are we doing?
I know, man. I'm sorry.
This is a
I'll
low
take
point.
The blame. I'm
no,
the producer.
This isn't on you at all. This
You're
isn't
right.
on you
it's
at
on,
all.
It's on our boss.
It's on whoever turned on soccer.
Nobody's been here all day.
Oh, is that why? So this is the channel that was on like yesterday?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
There's probably NBA. Oh, yeah, there's NBA games on yesterday. That was probably it.
So they were watching maybe the Blazers or somebody on ESPN or, okay. Somewhat forgivable.
No, it's still not, man. Come on. You're right. It's a college basketball holiday.
It's a college basketball holiday.
We're a sports radio station. We should have it. We should have March Madness on everywhere.
30 for 30 topics for the Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers. What is a documentary? And again, don't text in Marcus Mariota or, you know, the national championship runs for Oregon or, you know, not the obvious stuff. I think one of them that would interest me, and I think one of them that's recent that I think would be fascinating, is Gary Anderson's departure. I would love a documentary on what exactly went on behind the scenes when he left that money on the table and what went on. Because the rumors are crazy. The rumors are crazy. And I don't really believe the rumors. But I still would like to know. And there's still a small part of me that felt like he thought, I messed this up. I ruined this for a team. And as an honest man, I'm going to leave this money on the table because I screwed this up. And that's my gift to Oregon State for messing this up. And I'll walk away in the middle of the year and it gives you a chance to reset. And I can be the bad guy, I'll be the fall guy, and the program has a chance that's the least I can do. I still think that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah.
You were in the locker room for it, weren't
I
you?
Was. I was there for it, which I guess that was the weirdest thing because he did just get up and leave. That was after I
left. Did he talk to you guys? Did you have a team meeting where Gary's like, guys, it's not working, I'm out?
Nah. I wasn't. See, here's the thing. I wasn't there for that when it happened, because that was the season after I was done. But I was still around and still obviously talked to all the guys, and I was still getting my ACL rehab and everything like that. But I don't know, man. That it's a weird situation. You're right. There's all those rumors, so you don't really know. And at first, I was like, "There's no chance," right? And the whole staff, the whole everything that was going on, what everyone else was saying. There was a lot going on, so it's kind of hard to focus on exactly what it was. Maybe it was a staff. Maybe it was him. Like you said, just being the good guy, walking away. Maybe it was rumors. I don't really know. But regardless, that would be a good 30 for 30.
Text line already going nuts. And then we will get to break, and we'll give Casey Filkins a call, talk to him about his recruitment to Oregon and Oregon State. We will pick back up the 30 for 30 for conversation. But text line's blown up. LeGarrette Blount punch. Boise State is legendary.
Legendary.
And I think it would be fun to talk to there. I'm sure there are players who admire him for that. And it would be interesting to talk to them. And it was wrong. What he did was wrong. But I'm sure there are players like, he's a real one. Like,
oh, yeah.
He's a real
After
one.
After I saw that, I was like, you know what? I might go punch him after.
We also got the Colt Lierla story and what's gone on with
him
since.
That would be a really good one.
That would be a really fascinating one. I actually covered Hillsborough High School sports before the Oregonian gave me the job to cover recruiting and got to know a lot of people in the Hillsborough area and the problems for that young man, and it's too bad what's happened to him, but there were a lot of people who saw the writing on the wall for that when he was in junior high. And I think people in Hillsborough's hearts were in the right place, but there was a lot of enabling of some of the things he was showing signs in high school, and there was a lot of, let's just hope he makes it to college and college coaches and the, you know, college football can straighten him out. And unfortunately that it went the other way. He was enabled and it made him worse.
Think about how crazy it is though, that he was that good that people kind of were sweeping whatever he would do or any signs kind of under the rug because he was that good.
He got, and it's public knowledge, he got sent home based on behavior from an official visit to a Pac-12 school. His behavior was so bad during a visit, they sent him home. Now, I know what goes on for some of the kids on official visits. You do as well. You can do quite a bit and not get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, he would have had to do something absolutely crazy. Because if you got sent home from a visit, yeah, man, he had to do something that's like off the charts. Like completely off the charts.
It was off the charts. Casey Filkins joins the show to talk about his recruitment with Oregon and Oregon State next. And by the way, we switched from from soccer. I'm now watching people play Madden. ESPN right now is people playing Madden. We got to get it switched to college basketball because I got to know what's going on. Casey Filkins next. I'm recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
The Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers both hosting some of the key football prospects, especially the in-state guys, because they're paying their own way on unofficial visits. It's easy for the in-state guys to make that drive. One of those athletes is Casey Filkins, the Lake Oswego star, 6A Offensive Player of the Year last season. He was recently offered by Oregon and Oregon State, and he joins us now. Casey, how you been, man?
Good, man. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm excited to talk about everything that's going on.
No doubt. So I think we'll start here. I think Oregon State offered you before Oregon. What's your relationship been like with Oregon State?
I've really just been, making an effort to get out to campus and, keep building the relationship with the coaches as far as, meeting with Coach Petre and Coach Heinsohn, the receivers coach, and Coach Lindgren, Coach Smith. So I took a visit down there last Saturday. I had a great time down there, talking ball with all those guys. And for me, it's really about building relationships so that I can feel comfortable, and feel like I fit, in the right program. So, I'm just excited to keep building the relationship.
One of the things I think Jonathan Smith has done a really nice job of early is building some energy with the in-state recruits, building some momentum. They obviously signed a bunch of guys last year that were in-state guys. How much does it feel like you're a priority for Oregon State? In other words, does it feel like there's some extra special care with Oregon State in terms of the way they treat you and the way you're viewed in terms of a priority for 2020?
You know, that's an interesting question. I would say that, you know, Jonathan Smith has made it pretty clear that I am a priority in the 2020 class, you know, but as far as that goes, it's honestly flattering. One, it means a lot to me, you know, that he recognizes me as someone who he wants to come in and, you know, help out the program. But two, also just, you know, motivates me even more to, you know, continue to be able to, you know, meet those expectations and put myself in a position to be successful for, you know, whatever comes next. But the whole staff, you know, is making an effort to build that relationship, and I really appreciate it.
Got an offer from Oregon recently. They haven't offered many in-state guys in the last few years. So that offer, not unexpected, but certainly rare for them right now to offer, particularly a skill position player, an offer to get an offer to an in-state guy. What'd you think of that offer? Were you surprised by it, or could you kind of feel that relationship developing?
You know, everything kind of happened pretty fast, you know, as far as my relationship with them goes. And, you know, we just started talking more on the phone in the past couple weeks and past month, and, you know, decided to take a visit out to campus and see, you know, everything that it has to offer. Obviously, Eugene, I've, you know, been down there before, but I've never taken a detailed look at all the facilities and the campus. And it was really cool. And I wouldn't say it was expected or it was unexpected, but that one was flattering as well, just because, you know, Oregon Ducks and, you know, just that relationship with them. But as far as relationships go, and I'm just going to, you know, keep trying to build that relationship with them. And, you know, that's really important to me that they, you know, establish that connection with an offer, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Talking to Lake Oswego, running back, wide receiver, listed as an athlete in recruiting rankings, recently picked up offers from Oregon and Oregon State, has visited both. So we're talking to him about that a little bit. Oregon, when I talk to recruits about Oregon, one of the things I hear a lot about is, one, the facilities, but two, right now, and kind of the bigger one, is the energy this staff has towards recruiting. When you went on the visit, could you feel that energy dedicated to recruiting? I mean, what was that like in terms of that unofficial visit?
I could feel the energy, you know, that's really, I feel like they pride themselves on that, and it's awesome. It was really cool to be around, you know, from practice, you know, everybody's juiced up and, you know, kind of just getting hyped, and, you know, it was really cool to see that energy, not only just on the practice field, but throughout my visit. I'd absolutely say the energy down there is great. And, you know, I'm excited to experience more of it.
You have a little bit of a unique recruitment. I don't want to focus on just Oregon and Oregon State, although those are the schools that we primarily focus on the show. But you do have some Mountain West offers. You do have some Ivy League offers. And because of that, and I know how good a student you are, you have an interesting, not choice here in the sense that you have to choose football or academics, because obviously these schools do offer both. But the Ivy League certainly offer a different caliber academic education, and you could play football there, but the Ivy Leagues aren't FBS level, big time Power 5 conference programs. And then on the flip side, Oregon and Oregon State are that Pac-12 Power 5 conference program, but they're not the same level of elite academic institution. How do you weigh that in your choice? How do you weigh Harvard or Yale compared to Oregon or Oregon State, not necessarily in terms of football, but projecting your life 30 years down the road? That seems like it would be a very difficult decision for a teenager.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, just going through the process my parents have been foundational and, you know, helping me figure out what is important to me. And the number one thing that's important to me is fit. Fit is huge for me, not only with the football team, but on campus. It really comes down to, where am I going to feel comfortable? What's my gut saying when I'm down there taking these visits? Do I get a good feeling? Do I feel kind of anxious? It's like pretty much what I feel in my gut. That's what I go off of. And that's what I kind of use to determine if I want to, you know, continue building this relationship. And yeah, so as far as that goes, as far as weighing that decision, obviously between the Ivy Leagues and the different kind of football between that and Pac-12, you know, I think I've made it pretty clear that it really comes down to fit with me. You know, I'm not going to, you know, it's not going to come down to, oh, I got to go play Pac-12 football. I got to go play Ivy League football. It's going to come down to where do I feel like I fit best, and where am I going to want to spend the next 4 to 5 years of my life and be comfortable doing it. So that's what I, that's the foundation of my decision.
For listeners who don't know, I'm going to go over your resume real quick. You were the Conference Offensive Player of the Year, the 6A Offensive Player of the Year, a first-team All-State running back, the 6A State Champion, and you had the best season of anybody on that team, although Jackson Laurent and Marshall McGuire and some of those guys had monster seasons.
Absolutely.
171 carries, 1,160 yards, 28 touchdowns, 47 catches, 866 yards, 9 touchdowns receiving. A total in offense of 37 touchdowns. Where I'm going with this is, I know you're working your tail off this offseason because you're not satisfied. And there are a lot of people who would see those numbers, see that performance. You won a state title. You were the state player of the year. There's a lot to be satisfied with. What is it that drives you to be more successful and to keep grinding, even though, again, there are a lot of people on paper who would say he's accomplished everything he can. You're still working. Why?
That's a great question. I'd say what drives I'd say honestly what drives me.
I do this for a living, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. you know, as far as what drives me, I'd say there's a lot of driving factors. But I honestly got to go with my parents. Just seeing how hard they work every single day to, you know, provide for our family, and they've made some big decisions as far as what's best for our family, and just seeing how hard my parents work to be the best parents that they can be really inspires me to be the best I can. And then additionally, just continuing to prove people wrong. You know, I think there's obviously that stereotype about being like a white skill kid, especially out of Oregon, you know, and, you know, I accept that, and I understand that. And, you know, it pushes me to be even better. That's why I'm in, you know, grinding every off season with Eric, and I'm doing all that stuff to just keep proving people wrong. And, you know, a good thing and a bad thing about myself is that I have really high expectations for what I want to be, who I want to be. And so just those goals for myself is really all those factors are what drive me.
I wanted to give you an opportunity because I know one of the things you've credited and you've talked about in the past is Eric and what kind of work you've done with him. So I wanted to give you an opportunity because I think you'd like to take it to explain what work you are doing with Eric. Who's Eric and what is that about? Because that is a big part of your off-season training. Obviously, you know, Steve Corey's there in Lake Oswego, and you've developed a lot through them. But in your off-season, Eric has been a big factor for you and a big developer for you.
Exactly. So Eric Jernstrom is the head of E-Force Sports Performance, the training aspect of it. And I got to know him pretty much from my eighth grade year, and we've just continued to keep working together up until now, and we'll continue to keep working for however long I keep playing football and doing all that stuff. I mean, Eric is one of the smartest people I know. He just does things differently. It goes without saying, he just does things differently. Last year he got me prepared to go to the Nike opening in Las Vegas in May, and I put up a pretty good rating there.
Was that 4-5 laser?
That was, yeah.
And that's an absolute game changer for you in recruiting.
For sure, and I'm trying to get that even lower. So, you know, me and him have been grinding on about that again. and really honing in on specific things, and a lot of just, you know, explosive power training. That translates well to doing those combine drills. And so, yeah, Eric's been a pivotal piece of my training and my growth as a player. I really credit a lot of what I've been able to accomplish to him. So yeah, Eric's the man.
I think as good as your numbers are and as good as your 40 time is, I think the thing that I think is most special about you, and I think you're a great kid, but your vision as a ball carrier and your ability to kind of take glancing blows rather than take that punishing hit is really elite. I think you see the field as well as any young high school running back as I've ever seen. But you're also really good in open space. So I want to know, what do you prefer, running back or receiver, and which one are you primarily being recruited for, not only with Oregon and Oregon State, but in general?
So that's funny because I get that question asked a lot, and I still really haven't perfected an answer for it. I've played running back pretty much all my life. I've played it longer than I have receiver. You know, I kind of got thrown into the slot receiver position my sophomore year, and took over my junior year doing that as well. I think as I continue to develop my route running, my speed, my quickness, my ability to get out of breaks, my hands, from the receiver position, I'll, you know, be able to feel more comfortable out there and, you know, therefore call it, I guess, my favorite position. You know, I'm not opposed to playing running back, and especially I'm not opposed to going in between the tackles and taking some hits, because, you know, I honestly kind of enjoy that aspect of it. So, you know, when it comes down to a favorite position, I gotta say both, to be honest. And you know, my recruiting honestly has kind of reflected that. I'm getting recruited both as the running back and as a receiver, and I've had schools tell me that they see me as both, that kind of all-purpose guy. So it's cool because I'm going to continue to develop in all aspects, and I just, you know, hope that puts me in an even better position to be successful.
He's Lake Oswego three-star athlete Casey Filkins. That might go up to a 4 in time. He runs a 4.5 laser, was the 6A offensive player of the year, recently visited Oregon and Oregon State. Casey, thank you for your time, man, and very, very best of luck, not only training for these future openings and some of the numbers you're going to put up, but also in your recruitment and finding the right fit for you, finding home. I'm sure we'll talk again before you make that decision.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for all your support, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Have a good one, man.
Thanks, you too.
We got him, Marcus? He's still there?
Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, he
Casey, just hang up, man.
All right, cool. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Later, man.
See ya. I pressed N twice on the board and on the phone.
No, I know. I saw you in there doing it. We get a little bonus time with Casey Filkins there. I love that kid. I think, you know, he's right, and it is an uncomfortable thing for him to talk about, being a white skill position player from the state of Oregon. There haven't been that many that have made it out. And because of that, he kind of gets dinged. And you remember Luke Staley? He went to BYU, ended up winning the Doak out of Tualatin, the Doak Walker Award for the nation's best running back. He's one of the few. And so Casey, and recruiting a lot is a copycat thing where it's like, I've seen guys like him be successful, so I will go and get another guy like him. There aren't a lot of guys like Casey Filkins. Every comp he gets is, he's Christian McCaffrey, if they like him. And it's like, he's a different player than Christian McCaffrey. He's not just Christian McCaffrey. But that desire to find a comp makes it hard to recruit him at times. And he is battling that. And he is putting up monster numbers and doing everything he can to show college football teams, not only in the classroom, but on the field, that he is a different kind of player and a special player. And I really, really do appreciate him coming on. He's also, like I've said, been in studio. I hope he goes to either Oregon or Oregon State, just so I can continue to cover him, because I do think he's going to be a productive Pac-12 player. And he's also a really wonderful kid.
Yeah, he seems like a good kid. I think that's always big for me, is listening to when they come on the show, is kind of how they come off. If they're going to come off, obviously, you know, like, I'm basically the best player we've ever seen, then, you know, I get that in a way. But it's always better to be humble, because once you get to the Division I level everything changes, right? You're not going to be the man. You're not going to be, you know, top player in the state or whatever that is. But, you know, I was just thinking about this off air is some of these kids, they get these Ivy League school offers, right? And in his case, it's different. And I know this might be a little off topic, but I just wanted to get your thoughts, Andrew, is, you know, you see a lot of kids who get Ivy League offers and then they only get walk-on offers at Pac-12 places. What's your kind of take on that? Do you think that to me, it's like a no-brainer, obviously go to the Ivy League school, right? But I think so much has changed that everyone wants to go Division I so bad and get those, I don't know, get that kind of clout in a way that they're Division I players, that they really pass up on some really good opportunities.
Well, that's a great topic. We didn't plan this, but we got to go to break. So when we come back, I'll talk about that. We'll talk about how do you weigh the difference between an Ivy League offer? One, is that really an offer? And that's actually like literally almost $1 million question compared to a Pac-12 education or a Pac-12 opportunity. That'll be next. I'm recording with Andrew Nimick on 10 of the Fan.
Think of Change Realty when you want to change your online status from for sale to sold. You work hard for your money. Let us work hard to help you keep it. To learn more, visit changerealtynow.com.
No better way to make your house look new than a fresh coat of paint, especially outside. The crew for that job is Serta Pro Painters. Hey, it's Rob. Serta Pro Painters is there as your life evolves. These guys are a part of our community. Each Serta Pro painting business is independently owned and operated. Look, Serta Pro Painters knows gearing up for a big paint job, it can be a lot. That's why it's easy to put it off. Just let the pros at Serta Pro Painters take care of all of it for you. They even have color consultants and an online color visualizer. Basically, what'll happen is Serta Pro Painters will create the perfect setting for you and your family with no mess while you go about your life. This for either interior or exterior jobs. Hey, paint can transform your home and add value. Don't put it off any further. You can call Serta Pro Painters to schedule your free estimate at 1-800-GO-SERTA. 1-800-GO-SERTA with a C, or log on to SertaPro.com. Oregon contract number 212018. Serta Pro Painters. We do painting. You do life.
Hey guys, it's Rob. The snow is out, spring is almost here, and the weather will be improving greatly, which means it's time for more golf. So where should you play? Well, let me list the reasons I'm a P1 at Langdon Farms Golf Course. It's the first course I discovered when I moved here in 2000, and I haven't left. Just a short drive down I-5 from Portland. First, your money goes further. I suggest becoming a Farm Card member like me. The more you play, the more you earn with the bonus rewards program plus major discounts. Second, talk about a great value. Go price shopping. Langdon's rates are incredible for the quality of golf you get, not to mention the other amenities like Langdon's grill after your round. Third, best staff in town. Friendly, consistent, accommodating. And four, when it does rain, no place drains better than Langdon Farms. They invest in it, and it shows. I could keep going, but the bottom line is, as a golfer, there's nothing not to love about Langdon Farms. Their app is phenomenal for booking tee times in a matter of seconds, or hit langdonfarms.com.
At Wilsonville Toyota, No Bull is not just a slogan. It's about how we treat every guest every day. Deal with one awesome guest advocate, and hey, that's No Bull.
From game tapes to junior days to recruiting visits, this is Where It Happens. Recruiting with Andrew Nimick, featuring Oregon Live and Oregonian recruiting expert Andrew Nimick on 1080 The Fan.
In the last segment, we interviewed Casey Philkins, the Lake Oswego star, 6A Offensive Player of the Year, and he's really changed his recruiting stock here in the last year from being a guy who was viewed, and it wasn't right, but viewed as an FCS mid-major guy and is now looking at offers from Oregon State, and is really looking like he could end up being a four-star prospect. He ran a 4.5 laser. But because he was viewed as a potential mid-major FCS guy early, and because he's such a high academic student, he has a number of offers from Ivy League schools. So I had asked him about weighing the opportunity to play Power 5 conference football, where unless you're going to, you know, in the Pac-12, you're going to Stanford or USC or Cal, the academic ability of those schools, the academic standing of those schools is not as high as the Ivy League, but the Ivy League, of course, the football is not as high a level as it is in the Pac-12. So how do you weigh that? And Marcus, you talked about weighing that and how recruits do that. And one, it's really important to understand the Ivy League doesn't give full athletic scholarships. they'll help you out and they'll find ways to give you some academic money, or maybe you can get a partial, but there is no, like, I got an Ivy League school, Harvard is free. And I think if it were that way, we'd see a lot of guys, like, I mean, I don't mean to put words in Casey Philkin's mouth, but you'd get a lot of three-star guys who'd go, I'm probably not going to play in the NFL. I might, but I'm probably not going to. But if Harvard is free, I'm going to Harvard. But it's not. You end up paying still a lot of money. You might get like 33% reduction in tuition, even maybe half. But that's still, you're still paying more for Harvard than you would be paying to be a normal student at Oregon. You know what I mean?
If
an
in-state
guy. So that's the math people are actually weighing. For a lot of those kids, that offer from the Ivy League is a non-starter because they just, their parents don't have the money to pay for it. I think in general, there's a lot of self-assessment that needs to go into recruitment. I think a lot of kids think, and this happens all the time, and you see a number of tweets about this from coaches who really understand the process. There are kids who early on think, I'm a Pac-12 player. And then when Portland State and Montana State and even, you know, the lower level schools, Western Oregon, Southern Oregon, when they reach out and say, hey, we're really interested in you, we might offer you a scholarship if you come to our junior day, they're like, eh, I'm a Pac-12 player.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of self-assessment. And the other hard part is, and I found this in Oregon a number of times at the smaller level schools, there are small schools, and I imagine you have some firsthand experience. You went to a small school in Oregon and just killed everybody. I imagine there were some coaches who thought, because you were the best player they'd ever seen at their school, that you might be like a five-star guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I've had coaches tell me, literally, kids that didn't end up playing college football, that like he was a kid who would be a sophomore, and they're like, this kid's going to be a five-star. And then I see him and is like, he's really good. He might be second team all league or first team all league someday. He might even be first team all state in 3A or 4A, but that doesn't mean he's a five-star just because he's the best running back you guys have had in 10 years. So sometimes it's not even self-assessment. It's your coach or someone around you, your parents are telling you how great you are. And you really need to be informed about what level you are, so you don't poo-poo or you don't push away an early relationship because you think you're bigger than that. Accept a relationship with every school that you can, build that relationship, because you never know what's going to happen in recruiting.
Yeah, you're right. It's just, it's always interesting to see. I didn't personally know that. I thought when you get these offers from these Ivy League schools that they pay for the whole thing. And I was like, man, what are these kids doing? Who wants to be, you know, a walk-on at a Pac-12 school compared to getting your Ivy League school paid for? But that makes more sense. And I guess that's why, you know, you have your own show and I'm kind of sitting back here.
No, man. I mean, it's just one of those things. I think we don't do enough to talk about self-assessment. And that's one of like the buzzwords, honestly, for me with kids. When I talk to kids about recruiting, it's one of the things that, you know, Jordan Johnson, he comes on and does the podcast all the time. It's one of the things behind the scenes we do a lot of, talking to kids about self-assessment. You need to understand. And now it's even harder because scholarship offers in the spring don't always actually even mean scholarship offer. It means we like you and want you to come visit. But if you wait a month, it's not going to be there. I mean, there are a number of kids last year in Oregon who had on paper 8, 9, 10 offers, some from the FCS, some from Ivy League, some from, you know, smaller schools. And then when push came to shove and they were ready to commit, they only had like one offer or two offers because those offers weren't, we got guys higher on our board. We were interested in you, but you didn't commit right away. And so it wasn't a real offer. That's what makes self-assessment so hard. You could have three offers from Pac-12 schools, and by the time it's all said and done, none of them are committable. So that's why I always preach, if you like a school and you're like, man, I can't believe I got an offer from X school, commit.
Yeah.
And look around. Continue to talk to schools behind the scenes via DM or text message and build those relationships. But don't sit and say, well, I got Oregon State, so I'm definitely getting four more Pac-12s. That Oregon State offer might not be committable in 5 months. That Oregon offer might not be committable in 5 months. So if you like what you've got,
commit.
And you can even still look around. But it's really hard for a school to say, I know you're committed, but take a hike, bud. That's harder than, hey, I'm ready to commit. No, your offer's not there. And that actually came back to bite Gary Anderson during his tenure in the butt, because they didn't communicate that very well to kids. And they didn't communicate that, like, hey, you need to call us before you commit. And one time they offered a kid in Florida, and he was so excited, he talked it over with his parents, and he tweeted that he was committed and done. And people started doing the story of, like, new, you know, two-star kid commits to, and his offer wasn't committable. And so Oregon State had to call and be like, delete the tweet. And it's, Oregon State didn't do anything that every school in the country does that. The problem was Oregon State's staff wasn't on the same page and didn't make it clear that his offer wasn't committable. And so the kid announced his commitment to, like, I'm moving to the West Coast to play football. And the offer wasn't really there. That can happen.
That's unreal.
It happens. And it's not just Oregon State's fault. The problem is Oregon State, with Gary Anderson, not this current staff, didn't cross the T's and dot the I's to make clear to the kid, hey, you need to call us or communicate with us before you commit because this offer might not be committable. So he announced it and everybody was excited. There were stories written about it. And I didn't write anything. And people were like, you're just ignoring an Oregon State commit. And it's like, no, that kid doesn't, that offer is not going to, that's not real. And it can be brutal. So self-assessment, keep lines of communication open, and really find someone you trust outside. Get multiple opinions. Just because your high school coach says you're a five-star doesn't mean you're a five-star. Get like 8 opinions. Go to an opening. Go to a camp at a college and really see how you stack up against other talent. Casey Philkins isn't going to have that problem. His stock is going up and up and up and up. He's going to have multiple Pac-12s. But that's not always the case. And so it's really important to find out where you fit or what a scholarship offer actually means. Because it's until official offer comes out on paper, which can't come out until September or late August. I don't think people know that either. All these offers are verbal offers until August or September of their senior year. And once they get that piece of paper, that's the first day you can send them an official offer. That's when it gets hard to rescind the offer. There's a lot to it. People don't realize.
I didn't know that.
We should do a show at some point of all the little things that go on behind the scenes. Like, you probably know this because you went through it, but you actually have to register with the NCAA to be a recruit.
The NCAA, was it Clearinghouse? Is that what it's called? Yeah.
And if you don't go, and there are kids that don't know that. And so schools talk to them and they never go through the Clearinghouse because they never know. You actually have to sign up basically to, I am a prospective student athlete. And until you do that, schools can't really bring you into the fold. And there are kids who don't know that because they're from small schools and their coaches don't know about the Clearinghouse, so they never fill out the paperwork.
Yeah, the only reason I knew was because my brother.
Right.
He was like, you got to get this because, my coaches didn't tell me that at all.
And there are coaches, I know this year, and this is part of the reason the 2020 group for me is a little tough. There are some kids that assume they know the process and they don't. And one of the kids, his coach isn't real big on modern recruiting. He's an old school guy. And the kid had to ask the 24/7 Rivals type people, the reporters, how do I get exposure? Because I don't know how to sign up for camps. I don't know where to go to sign up for camps.
Sheesh.
And it's like, you can ask your, he doesn't know either. And it's not even really an Oregon high school coach's fault because they have some of these schools have so few recruits, they don't know how to do it. There's a lot to it. We said we'd do 30 for 30s. I want to hear some of your best 30 for 30s for Oregon and Oregon State. We'll talk about it. If ESPN or some outlet made a documentary series on underreported stories that you got an hour to deep dive into, what ones would you want to hear from Oregon?
From five stars to unknown prospects, we cover them all. From Oregon Live, this is Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan.
So this has been a recurring topic here for the last 2 weeks, and we'll finally get to it and dive into it. 30 for 30, if there were a 30 for 30 series on Oregon and Oregon State athletics, what documentaries would you want made? Again, don't go with the easy layup. Steve Prefontaine at Oregon. I get it. Big deal. There's been multiple movies made out of it. One of them we talked about earlier was Gary Anderson's exit from Oregon State and how that all played out. I'd actually be interested in it. And again, the recruiting nerd in me comes out. Oregon for years now has had a pipeline to Canadian prospects. And because of that, a lot of people thought entering the last day that Oregon would get RJ Barrett because they've gotten so many good Canadian players. So I'd be interested to see a 30 for 30 and maybe me and like 4 people would watch that. But Oregon's recruiting relationship development with Canada would be interesting.
I think I have to go with the Gary Anderson one.
It's a good one.
It was because he was my coach, but man.
Another one again, I like to stay on recruiting and we've got some other ones, but Mike Riley's ability to find gems and like to interview high school coaches and be like, he showed up and we didn't expect him here. I mean, some of those interviews would be like, he picked out this kid and the only other school that was recruiting him was Texas Southern. I mean, there would be stories like that. And then you'd interview Riley, and he's like, gee golly, we just saw a guy we thought we could, who could really produce for us.
That's funny that you say that.
If we gave him the opportunity.
Yeah, he came to Prineville to one of my games. I didn't know. He just showed up, and I was like, yo, I think that's Coach Riley.
Yeah.
And like right before the game, he just shows up in like a sweatsuit. And
there are
like
stories like that, though.
Hat.
Like that's not unique, that like a guy off the beaten path in this, like, you know, big time schools, Long Beach Poly and De La Salle, you know, Dallas South, those kind of schools. Of course, there are coaches there. Riley sometimes would show up and it's like, dude, this is a 2A game in Idaho. What are you doing? I mean, that's the kind of guy Riley was to find gems. Galen Rupp's time, you know, he's an Olympic medalist. I'd be interested to see Oregon softball and all the stuff that went on. I'm also interested, again, this kind of goes back to recruiting, but this Oregon women's push. I know I've written a long story. I wrote a 3-part story on how Oregon women's basketball came together, but Sabrina Ionescu's recruitment's incredible. She was between Oregon and Washington down to the last day, and Oregon kind of gave her a deadline and said, our freshman orientation starts at like noon Friday. I don't know the exact date, but it was like noon on a day. And then that morning, they knew she was in the car driving to one of the schools, but they didn't know which one. And they gave her a deadline and said, like, if you're not here by noon, we've got to move. Like, we just got to move on, because I'm sure they would have still taken her, but whatever. And like 10 minutes before the orientation, her dad dropped her off with all her stuff at the arena, because that's where the meeting was. And she knew she couldn't drop her stuff off at an apartment or dorm. So Sabrina Ionescu, the national player of the year, just got like dropped off by her dad. And it was like, oh, she picked Oregon. And that's how she announced
her
commitment.
That'd be a good one.
That would just, that story is great.
Yeah.
And to hear Kelly Graves talk about it would be a lot of fun.
Any Oregon State one with Chad Johnson in it, I think would be a good one too.
Dude,
I heard a story that he didn't even unpack his bags when he was at Oregon State.
Chad Johnson, TJ Husmandada, Jonathan Smith. The funny thing is, probably 5 years ago, you could have got Jonathan Smith to talk about a lot of the stuff, and now he probably wouldn't.
Never. Yeah, he will never say it.
But it would be fun. It would be fun to hear how that team came together, the Dennis Erickson years. That would be fascinating. Believe it or not, oh, I'm going to forget his name. Richie Incognito, Oregon, after he got kicked out of Nebraska, brought him in and got his commitment. This was way before grad transfers were a thing. And he was brought in, and it was like zero tolerance. If you do anything, you're gone. And that he showed up that weekend and like, I think got in a bar fight. I mean, it was well publicized. He got in trouble publicly around a bar, at a bar, a fight or something. He got thrown out. And he lasted like, no joke, less than 48 hours in Eugene and then was gone. It would be fun to do. I mean, Oregon would never want you to do it, but it would be fun to do a Richie Incognito story, because I don't think people know that. He was at Oregon.
I didn't even know that.
He wasn't even like officially part of the team, because he got there and it was like, we'll see how you do. And it was like, never mind, before the weekend was up.
Oh my goodness.
It's great.
How do you do that?
And that's public. I mean, that's not some behind the scenes story. It was well publicized at the time. It's just not as big a story now. Willie Lyles, I know that's been like beaten to death at this point in terms of being talked about, but it would be fascinating to find out some of that. What's interesting is the NCAA kind of overstepped there. I read the rules for that, and what Oregon did became illegal after they did it, but the NCAA discovered it after they made the rule. So they retroactively kind of like, well, that was against the rules. That'd be against the rules now. It was a weird one.
Willie Taggart. That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Any Willie Taggart one.
Thank you, as always, for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.